Our passage this morning out of the book of Acts is the second half of a story. The first half of the story is that the Apostle Paul, who at this point is still called Saul, his Jewish name, has headed to Damascus with permission to arrest all of the Jesus followers who were in the synagogues in Damascus. Along the way, God shows up, blinds him. He falls on the ground, hears a voice speaking to him, wants to know who this voice is, and the voice replies that it's Jesus, and that he is to go to Damascus and wait further instructions. People talk about that as the road to Damascus experience. So now we pick up with not Saul being the focus of the passage, but a man named Ananias. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord. As a kid, I loved baseball. Any of you grew up loving baseball? Especially being here in Detroit, right? Tigers and all of that. My morning routine was I would quickly get ready for school. I'd go into the breakfast table, steal away the sports section, read about all of the games, and memorize the standings. Who was in first and who was in last and how many games behind. But even more than reading about baseball, I loved to play baseball. And so one of the most exciting times of my year, of my young life, was when the announcement would come out at school that baseball tryouts were coming up. And so I would bug my mom until she filled out the paperwork and wrote the check and I could turn it in. And then I would get my date and time to try out. Now, I'll be straight with you all. I was never all that good. We had, you tried out in Little League for the majors or the minors, and I was definitely a minor leaguer. But it didn't matter because it meant I got to play baseball. So I would show up at tryouts, and I don't know how, for those of you who played, your tryouts were. We would run the bases, and all the coaches gathered around the outside of the field would time how fast you could run the bases. And then you got to take some grounders in the infield and catch some pop flies in the outfield. And then the piece de resistance you put on the helmet, and you got to bat. And then when it was all over, you'd walk off the field and wait. You would wait for the call to come, for the phone call to ring and say, you're on the Cardinals or you're on the Dodgers. Somehow I never got on the Tigers. I don't know. But it was, but in that moment, it was like life had begun again because I knew I'd been chosen, I'd been called, I was part of a team, and I would get to play. Any of you ever have a call like that? I mean, maybe it wasn't baseball. Maybe it was work. You get the promotion, or you get the new job, or there's some exciting news that you've been waiting for, and finally the call comes. It's a wonderful thing to get the call, isn't it? But this morning, what I want us to do is think about a very different kind of call. But what I hope is that at the end of the service this morning, you will be as excited about this different kind of call as you were about that call. But in order to do this, there are three words we need to remember, okay? Three words. By, to, for. By, B-Y, to, T-O, for, F-O-R. By, to, for. Okay? Because if you remember those words, all of this will make sense. So first word, by. All of us here in this place this morning have been called by God. All of us have been called by God. That's the reason we are here. Someone said that God is nothing if not a God who desires to be in personal relationship with all human beings. That God is not some distant concept or thought or the force in Star Wars. That God that we come to know through Scripture is this amazing relational God. And God calls to all of us to be in relationship. And this is one of those great themes throughout the Bible. In fact, already by chapter 3 of Genesis, God is calling, and it's a story where Adam and Eve decide, yeah, let's eat that fruit in the garden. We don't need God. They're ashamed, they hide. And what does God do? God shows up in the garden and calls them. Hey, guys, where are you? Can't find you. Somehow I'm not sure that's true with God, but you know, God calls to them, trying to draw them back into relationship. And if you read the Bible, there are all sorts of calls. There are calls from God. God calls Moses through the burning bush. God calls Abraham and Sarah to go take a journey. Jesus calls the disciples. The Spirit calls the disciples to go out and to preach and to teach. And not just calls them, God, the Spirit pushes them. But you have this sense that somehow God is all about calling us. We are called by God. Now, one of the things I want to say is that oftentimes when I talk about this with people, the response is, well, no, I've never really been called by God. And what they mean is that I haven't had a burning bush experience, or I haven't had a Damascus Road experience where God knocks me down and says, John. And so we think we haven't been called. But the thing about God is that's not usually the way God calls. Those are the exception and not the rule. God can call us through that deep sense of something's missing in my life, and maybe I need to sort of find God again, or find a place where I can discover who God is. That's God calling, just that deep need within us. Maybe it's the Scriptures themselves. Got an email from a guy last week who talked about his call, that it came through reading the Bible, that he heard God sort of speaking to him through some of the Scriptures. Or maybe it's through a parent or a grandparent or a friend who says, you know, you really are loved by God. Why don't you come find out more? And we get this sense. So God is at work, holiness through all sorts of means, the majority of which never have to be dramatic. So we're called by God. Two, we are called to family. When God calls us, God never just calls us to be Lone Ranger Christians. Okay? And we can see this in this story, because so Paul is out there, he's a man with a mission to destroy the church, this nascent Jesus movement. And God calls him in a very dramatic fashion, knocks him down, speaks to him. But what he's called to is not just to be this guy all out on his own doing Jesus stuff. He's called to be part of the family of God. And we know this because, as we read this morning, God calls to Ananias in the middle of the night, wakes him up, and says, "Ananias." And Ananias goes, "Who's there?" And it's like, "Well, it's Jesus, and I have something for you to do." And I can imagine Ananias going, "Sure, what you need?" And until Jesus says, "Well, you know this guy Saul, I need you to go lay your hands on him, because he has something to do." And I can imagine Ananias going, "I think I'm going back to sleep. Don't you know who it is? He's the guy who's persecuting us. He's the guy who wants to throw us in jail. He's the guy who hates us. I don't think so." But he goes. And Ananias does two things. When Ananias comes to Saul and lays his hands on him, this is what he says: "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me." Brother Saul. This is a man Ananias has never seen before, never met, knows wants to throw him in jail, and yet because Jesus has claimed Saul, it means that Saul is his brother. He's part of the family. And then the next thing he does is he baptizes him. And in baptism, that's that mark of becoming part of the family of God. Which is why whenever we baptize children here, we say, and Joanne or I or Bethany walk them down the center aisle, we say, "We want you to meet the newest member of the household of God." Because in that baptism, they have become family. And so we are called by God to family. Finally, we are called for a purpose. Okay, so again, this is where I've encountered people all through my ministry who stop and say, John, what's my purpose? You know, you're always talking about God calls us to a purpose. What's my purpose? They say, "John, you have a purpose. Look, you've been called to be a minister. You have a purpose. What's my purpose?" You and I, all of us here this morning, we have the same purpose. We're not just called for a purpose. We're all called for the same purpose. And that purpose is to bless the world. That this was the command given to Abraham, that he and his family would be a blessing to the world. And we're part of that family. Remember, we're called to family, and we are called to bless the world. And what that means is different things at different times in our lives. That we're when we're a kid in school, okay, and there's one of our classmates who's being bullied or not treated well, part of our purpose may be to stand up for that child, to stand up for someone who may not even be our friend, to say that's wrong. And in that, you're blessing the world. When we enter the work world, there may be someone who's being picked on and bullied. And maybe part of our calling to bless the world is to stand up for that person, to be their friend, or if we're in management someplace, it is to treat our workers with respect and decency, to show them that they are important, that they matter. And maybe when we're out of the work world, maybe it is helping to support or to volunteer or to pray. Or if we're at home, raising our children, that's blessing the world. You bless the world by raising children who are loved and cared for. See, that our purpose is not always the same from our childhood to our teenage years to our young adulthood to retirement. It changes, but in specifics, but ultimately it is blessing the world. Because that's who we're called to be. That's what we're called for. All of us are called. And it's a gift. It's a gift because what it means is that God's love is deep and passionate for us. It means that we're never alone because we always have community. We always have the household of God as a place where we can go, as people to whom we can turn. And it means we have a reason for being, that our lives are never meaningless and purposeless. And that's a gift. And so here's my challenge for you for this week. Is that sometime as you get up in the morning, whether you're looking in the mirror, shaving or brushing your teeth or sitting at the breakfast table, I want you to remember by 2:4. Remember that you are called by God to a family for the purpose of blessing the world. And just let that sink in. Just let it sink in and remind you of the gift you've been given in the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ poured out through the Spirit. And then let that reality guide the rest of your day. By 2:4, it's a gift. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you have called us to be part of this community through which and by which we bless the world. Help us to allow that to shape our understanding of who we are and why we matter, that we might always give thanks to you. We pray this in Christ's name.